special. So at work, sometimes, I have a little speaker that I take with me on the job, a little Bluetooth speaker, and I have a playlist on my Spotify that I listen to, and just as background noise, I think, for the most part. But one night, I don't know why this song hit me so hard, made me think, but the first line of this song, but this song pops on the radio. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you'll never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you'll never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you'll never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Now, it doesn't seem so odd to sing that in church standing here. But standing in front of a core machine to make sand cores, doing an alignment on it, and I burst out into that song because it just hit me. People look at you kind of funny. They drive by, other millwrights, electricians, they drive by with a funny grin on their face. But that song hit me, and that very first line, even though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I started thinking about that. So I looked it up. If you'll turn with me to the 23rd Psalm. And normally when I look things up, normally when I study things, I've been reading out of the NET, the New English Translation. And this is what it says in the New English Translation. The Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He takes me to lush pastures. He leads me to refreshing water. He restores my strength. He leads me down the right paths for the sake of his reputation. Even when I must walk through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they reassure me. You prepare a feast before me in plain sight of my enemies. You refresh my head with oil. My cup is completely full. Surely goodness and faithfulness will pursue me all of my days, and I will live in the Lord's house for the rest of my life. Now, that seemed kind of odd to me when I read that. It doesn't sound the same. It didn't sound the same as the song, for one thing. And it wasn't the way I remembered it, because I remembered it from the King James Version. The King James Version looked a lot more like I remembered it, like it should be, like the song said, in my mind, like it should be. Let's put it that way. So I looked it up, and I don't really like the King James because of the vowels and the S and the, you know. So I looked it up in the English Standard Version, which is the same except for it does away with the old English words. And this is what the English Standard Version says. A Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right off the bat, that sounds like what my mom used to quote. You know, that makes sense. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell with the Lord in the house of the Lord forever. Now, the idea here is that we can rely on God no matter what happens to us. No matter where we're at, no matter what bestows us, we can rely on him to give us what we need. Now, I heard this verse long before I became a Christian. Never knew where it came from. Didn't know what the 23rd Psalm was. And I heard the verse a little bit different, because when it's quoted to you, or you see a t-shirt of a biker friend of mine wearing it, and his verse said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for I'm the baddest man in the valley." That's a little different. That shows reliance on you, right? Not reliance on God. But this verse here gives us the idea. So I got thinking about it because of the difference in the NET and the difference in the ESV and the song itself. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, my mind went there. What is the valley of the shadow of death? It sounds ominous, doesn't it? But then you look at the text, and right now it's weird because everything around that sounds really good. It's praising God for what he's done for us. But then right in the middle of it, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that conjures up things like Armageddon, doesn't it? Makes you think of things like that, things that are, but, so I looked it up, and I got wondering, so, is the NET, when it levels it out, or should it be the valley of the shadow of death? So I looked it up. I looked up the words there, actually. And the word for valley, the Hebrew word for valley is gehi. And it literally means a gorge, or a narrow, a literal valley. That's what it means. Now, because this is a poem, this is poetic, we understand it to mean the low times of your life. That's what we think of as valleys, right? We got the mountaintops and we got the valleys. But that's literally what the word means. It literally means valley. Now, the Hebrew for the shadow of death, it's all one word. It comes from two words. The word is pronounced Salmaveth, and it comes from two words which come from the word shade and the word death. So it literally means in the shade of death. So even though I'm walking through the valley in the shade of death, So the first one is a literal valley. The second word there comes from two words, which means the shade of death. We're walking in the shade of death. We understand the valley could be the low point in your life. A mountain could be a high point in your life. Okay, in the shadow, in the context of a poem, in poetry. Let's talk about a shadow. The shadow. What is the shadow of death? Let's talk about what a shadow is. How do we get a shadow? The first thing you need to get a shadow is light, right? You don't get a shadow in the dark. So you need light to make a shadow. Then you need something that blocks that light. Now, we enjoy the shade of a tree on a hot day in the summertime. We sit out there, and we went to Fishers of Men a week ago or whenever that was. And I remember having to move my chair because we sat there long enough that as the light kept moving, my shade kept moving. So I had to keep moving my chair so I could stay in the shade. And we like to enjoy that shade, okay? Now, that's all a shade is a shadow. It's a shadow that's cast. And if you don't have something that blocks that light, you're not going to have a shadow. Secondly, in order to take advantage of that shade, you have to be close to it. I can't enjoy the shade of the tree at my house right now from here. I have to be near that tree. I have to be close to it. I have an awning on the side of my camper that I fold out so that I can get shade. In order to be there, I have to be near that awning. As the sun goes down farther, you can be farther away. But as the sun goes up and gets above you, what happens to that shade? It gets smaller and smaller, doesn't it? When it's high noon and the sun's right above you, there's hardly any shade at all. When it's mostly light and not so much shadow. So that tells me that if it's the shadow of death it's talking about, death must be nearby. Death must be close if you're in the shadow of death. Based on this understanding, Yeah, to be in the shadow of death, to be in a low point in your life, death has to be near. When you think about it, as long as we're on this earth, this is how I started thinking about it. Could this valley that it's talking about here be life? We're in the shadow of death as soon as we're born. Because I guarantee you're never going to know when it's going to happen. When you think about it, as long as we're on this earth, we're in the shadow of death. The very thought of death can block the light of Christ. Rick talked about that light earlier and Christ being that light. You realize the more light there is, the fewer shadows there are. I used to work in a GM dealership, and we had a body shop. And in the body shop, they had a paint booth. In this paint booth, there were lights from the floor all the way up to the ceiling, across the ceiling. Everywhere in this room, there was a light. Because every time they found a shadow, they put another light in there. So the more light you have, the less shadow you have. The more light there is in that paint booth, they can see the flaws. This is what Rick was pointing out too. You see the flaws. That's why the closer you get to the light, the closer you get to Christ, the easier it is to see your flaws. Because that light exposes them. Then too, the more light shines around us, the easier it is to see our flaws and be able to correct them. With this idea that we walk in the shadow of death daily. How do I know that we walk in the shadow of death daily? We see death all around us. We had a fellow at work here not too long ago, went in for some kind of surgery. Didn't think it was a major deal. They got him up to walk. I think it was like a knee or something. They got him up to walk. He had a heart attack and died in the hospital. This happened last week. I had a sister-in-law who was grooming a dog, had an aneurysm, fell over and died. You never know when it's going to happen. You could have somebody pull out in front of you. You could leave here today. We are in the shadow of death every day of our lives. With this idea, another song came into my head as I was thinking about this. There was a song here a few years ago made popular. It was a country song called Live Like You Were Dying. These are the lyrics for that one. He said, I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me when a moment came and stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options, and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this really might be the end, how's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? He said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. And I loved deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. He said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. Well, seeing how we are in the shadow of death every day of our lives, maybe we ought to live like we were dying. But rather than do all the things I always wanted to do, rather than having that bucket list and living my life for me, like this says, generally, this is what people think about when they say live as if it was your last day. Go do something you want to do, something you've always wanted to do, but you've been putting off. Do that. But if we're reading and studying the book of Psalms, we have a little bit different understanding than most people do. We understand that life doesn't end at death, if that makes any sense. Just because we're separated from this earth, just because we're separated from this body, that's not the end. We're going to be spending eternity somewhere. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28 says this. And just as people are appointed once to die, and then to face judgment. So also, after Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, to those who eagerly await him, he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation. Now, in his class, Rick quoted a verse from Hebrews that for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Can you say that? Seems that we're walking in the valley of the shadow of death. See, it even doesn't even have to be a valley. You could be on the mountain and still be in the shadow of death. The fact that death is near us, can you say, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain? Would it be gain? When we die, and we all die, we face judgment. If you die today, you face judgment today. You're going to know where you're going to spend eternity seconds after you're dead. Maybe we can consider living as if this were true, as if it was our last day on earth, but also as if we know that there's an eternity somewhere. And we want to spend it with Christ. How do we do that? How do we go about that? How do we spend our eternity in, or how do we spend each day as if Christ were right here waiting for us? Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." That's something else that Rick was talking about. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you'll eat or drink or about your body or what you'll wear. Isn't there more to life than food and more to the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they are? And which of you, by worrying, can add even 1 hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothing? Think about how the flowers of the field grow. They don't work or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his glory was clothed like one of these. And if this is how God clothes the wild grass, which is here today, and tomorrow is tossed into the fire to heat the oven, won't he clothe you even more, you people of little faith? So then, don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the unconverted pursue these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But above all, pursue his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So then, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough trouble of its own. He says here to pursue his kingdom and righteousness. His kingdom is the church. Jesus Christ died for his church. We're to pursue his kingdom, the church, and his righteousness. If we live every day as if it were our last day, imagine what a difference that would make when you look at your coworkers. Knowing that this might be the last day that you can tell them about Jesus Christ. This might be the last opportunity that you have. Not because they're going to die, but what if it's because you're going to die? And what if you're the only one who could tell them about it? We need to live each day as if it were our last, but we were living it for Christ. From this scripture, we gather that our lives aren't as important as seeking his kingdom, the church. He tells us in verse 33 that if we concern ourselves with his kingdom and righteousness, we have no need to worry about our daily needs. We went and saw that movie, The Blind, about the Duck Dynasty, about the Robertsons. And before that, we watched a show called I Am Second, a little thing. It's like 15-minute little videos of it. And Phil Robertson said something. I like the way he relates these stories because it hits home, right? And he was telling a story about how after he became a Christian and he started reading and studying the Bible, he was out on the river and he was fishing. He was a commercial fisherman. He was selling fish to make money. And these guys kept stealing his fish. He said he pulled up on this guy, saw the guy pulling his net right out of there. And he pulled up there, and he said, he had his gun with him and everything. But he thought, well, Lord, you said I ought to help these people out. You said I ought to help the hungry. I ought to feed the hungry. It makes no earthly sense to me whatsoever, but I'm going to give them those fish. So he said, I went up to him, and he pulled all them fish out, and I said, and he asked him what they were doing. And he said, they just found this net. He said, well, that's my net. He said, but I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you all the fish in that net. They're yours. Just put it back. So he took all the fish out of the net, and they took it. People stopped stealing from his fish. The stealing his fish stopped right after that. He says, the only thing I can figure is, God, you were right. Have you ever had the opportunity to do that in your life? Have the opportunity to test God like that? God tells you this is going to work. And then you go ahead and do it. Like this worrying thing. Worrying about what you're going to do. Worrying about whether I'm going to have a job tomorrow. Oh, man, I work for GM. Every Friday, don't you think I'm a little bit nervous? Gee, am I going to go on strike today? Till then, I just keep going to work. It's totally out of my hands. Nothing I can do about it. Somebody asked me, "Well, what are you going to do if the union runs GM right into the ground and GM has to go out of business?" I guess I'll go work in my shop. The Lord gave me those things. I'll just go do it. The Lord's always taking care of me. Why would I think now is going to be any different? As long as I keep following him. If we're in Christ, we can trust Psalm 23. And we don't need to fear death. If we're in the light, there is no death shadow. We can trust that he'll take care of us while we're on this earth. After death, while we're on this earth and after death, we can have this confidence. How confident are you in your salvation? How confident? You can have that confidence. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, because I know that I'm in Christ. I don't have to be afraid of dying. It used to be. I understand. That's why the wording in the psalm is the way it is. Because that seems to be the biggest deal in people's lives. What's the worst thing that can happen to you? Well, I die. I've told people before, they say, well, aren't you afraid of dying? No, don't threaten me with death. Because I'm looking forward to it. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. You can have that same confidence and be in Christ. If you're hearing this and you don't have this confidence, you need to start. By getting in Christ, so you're in the light. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. O Lord, be my light, be my salvation. Ever heard that song? I love that song. But if you want to be in the light, it all starts with a plan of salvation. You guys can come up. It all starts with belief. Belief that God sent Christ for you. Belief that you don't have to have that fear of death. Belief that in Christ, you'll be with him in heaven. John 3:16, Jesus said this, "For this is the way that God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." But that's not all you have to do. You have to live your life for him. That means stop living your life for you. That's why when Rick earlier in his lesson, he was talking about giving up your life. He who hates his life will find it. We have to give up my life and live life for Christ. That means you have to repent. Repent means turn around. Turn around from your life and turn to the life that Christ wants you to live. Luke chapter 3, verse 13, verse 3, Jesus says, "No, I tell you the truth, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." You need to live your life for Christ. And that means that you're going to be willing to confess him before men. He said in Matthew 10:32, "Whoever then acknowledges me before people, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." When we're at work, if we live like we're dying, we're going to tell everybody we can about Christ and what he did for us. Then we need to start our Christian walk. And that begins by killing yourself. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? That begins by getting rid of your life. You dying and being buried with Christ in the Christian grave of baptism. You die to yourself. You're buried with him in baptism to rise, to walk in the newness of life, Paul tells us in Romans. But Jesus tells us in Mark 16:16, "The one who believes and is baptized will be saved. The one who does not believe will be condemned." Because that's the beginning of your Christian walk. When you're resurrected from the dead, coming out of that watery grave of baptism, there's two times in your life when everything is brand new. The day you're born from your mother's womb and the day you are reborn from this watery grave of death. That's not where it ends. That's only the beginning. Then we need to remain faithful for the rest of our lives. Jesus tells us in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, "Do not be afraid of the things you're about to suffer. The devil is about to have some of you thrown into prison." He's speaking to his disciple at the time. "So you may be tested, and you will experience suffering for 10 days. Remain faithful, even to the point of death, even if it causes your death. And I will give you the crown that is life itself." There's where you can have that confidence. That confidence that I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Because I'm in Christ. If you are in Christ, but don't have that confidence to trust God, get a hold of one of the elders or Dave. You can have that confidence. And you can walk boldly through this life knowing that death has no power over me. If you need any of that, come now.